You're listening to episode 3 of Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. This is the podcast all about pouring the labor, care, and study into the roles that God has given us as wives, moms, women, and His children. It is meant to inspire us to be living with passion, intention, beauty, and delight in the everyday moments right where we're at. I'm your hostess, Mackenzie Monroe from BoldTurquoise.com and the Cultivating the Lovely morning show on Periscope. Today, I am so excited to be bringing you a conversation that I had with my friend Pam Barnhill. Now, if you don't know who Pam is, then you are going to be in for a treat. She has the blog edsnapshots.com and even a couple of podcasts herself, which she's going to tell you more about in the episode. But today we really dive into how we can be investing in our kids by doing something called morning time. Now, you might be hearing this and thinking, oh, that's only for homeschool moms. But rest assured, we have ideas for you, even if you aren't a homeschool mom, of how you can be connecting with your kids in the morning in practical ways and just filling them with good literature and fun things that you can be memorizing together as a family to really build family culture and really intentionally shape your family into who you want them to become and who you want your family to grow into and the things you want your kids to remember when they get older. I really think you're going to enjoy this episode. So without further ado, let's get started. Welcome, Pam. I'm so excited to have you on today.
Well, I am so excited to be here, Mackenzie. This is going to be fun.
Yes, I am really looking forward to sharing you with my audience. I've known Pam for only a few months now. We kind of had some mutual friends, but I think it really boiled down to Periscope was where we really were able to connect more, right?
Oh, yeah. I was watching that lovely Cultivating the Lovely show that you do. Each morning. And I was like, oh, this girl's good. So I started really paying attention to what you were doing to steal all your best tips.
Oh, you're too generous. I think it was when I was on a Dave Schrein scope and you were in there and you saw like questions I was asking him. And right after I like private scoped you, you private scoped me, and we didn't know we were private scoping each other, trying to actually connect. And you had all these amazing tips for me. And that totally changed everything for me. So I will always be indebted to you for that.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all.
So I want our listeners to get a little bit better idea of who you are, what you used to do, what you do now, kind of how you got to where you are in life.
Well, I was a former high school and middle school public school teacher. That was what I did. Okay. And actually, I worked on the yearbook. That was kind of my...
Oh, fun.
Yeah, that I call myself... I was a professional yearbook nerd. I actually worked on the yearbook at the schools that I taught at when I was teaching. And then after I taught for a number of years, the yearbook company hired me away to service local yearbook accounts. And so basically, it was a fabulous job. It was a fabulously fabulous job. I worked from home. I set my own hours. I worked for a wonderful gentleman who really gave me free rein and let me help him run his business and do a lot of the marketing and things like that. And I would basically go in and service these yearbook accounts and help a lot of first-time yearbook advisors who had never done this kind of thing before. And I got to work with the kids still and teach them and train them on, you know, everything from graphic design to how to sell ads to how to write copy and take pictures and things like that. And so it was a great fit for me to be able to get
That's
to
awesome.
Do that. Yeah. And then I would travel around the Southeast and teach yearbook workshops in the summer, especially, but also some throughout the year. And I kind of did the yearbook speaking circuit as well, and loved my job. And my husband and I had been married 10 years and finally decided, you know what, we think we want to have kids. And so not too long after that, our daughter was born, and I took one look at her and I was like, I can't go back to work.
Yeah.
We live very far away from family, and I totally wasn't prepared to hand her over to somebody else for them to take care of her. And so my boss was great. He let me work part time. And then unbeknownst to him, my family was actually determined that we should move back to Alabama. We were living in Tampa at the time. And my sister-in-law basically found my husband a job and sent him the job opening. And the family was determined. And within a couple of months, he had interviewed and gotten the job. And we moved back up here. So,
wow.
Yeah. I continued to work for my boss for a couple of years. But then when I got pregnant, kind of remotely, but when I got pregnant with my third child, by that time we knew we were going to homeschool. My husband's in the National Guard and he was about to have to be away for a long period of time. And I really felt like by that point I was losing touch with the yearbook community. It really kind of goes on trends and the technology's always changing. And I was just far enough removed from being in the classroom that I couldn't keep up with it. And so I became a full-time, not a work at home mom anymore, but a stay at home mom. And then we kind of dove into homeschooling from there.
Wow. That's awesome. So how old was your daughter when that happened?
Yeah, she was about 4 at that time. She was 4 when I got pregnant with, my youngest. So that was right about the time that everything there, I knew once I was pregnant and the husband was gone for 6 months all at the same time, there was no way I could continue to work from home, even, just a couple days a week.
And so that was kind of just before then you would have launched into your homeschooling, just kind of.
Well, you would right think that. But I was one of those type A, I always had a lot of fun being a student, especially in elementary school. And, felt like, my child's going to read early and we're going to do all this great preschool stuff. And we have to learn all of our colors and numbers and letters and all of that stuff. So at that point, I was really gung ho about doing the whole homeschool preschool thing. So, I took it a little overboard.
Yeah, I hear you on that one too. I may have done that as well.
So we had the whole homeschool room and we had our little Montessori set up and we were doing stuff.
That's funny. So where are you now? What are you doing now? Are you working at home at all with what you're doing online, or what would you consider yourself now?
Oh yeah, I would definitely say that within the past year, what started out as a hobby blog for me has really turned into a part-time job here at the house.
Okay.
And so, it's a constant struggle, always trying to, figure out how I can bless my family on one hand, but on the other hand, how to spend just enough time doing it and not take away from the work that I need to do here as a wife or a mother or as a homeschooler. So, I would say that if you look at me and you look at me honestly, I work part-time at home.
Yeah. So where is it on the web that you are working part-time that people can find you?
Well, it's edsnapshots.com is the name of the blog. And that started, 7 years ago as Everyday Snapshots. It was a scrapbooking blog. It was a place where I could share my scrapbooking pages with other scrapbookers. Online. So if you go back and you dig way deep in the archive, that's what you'll find are scrapbooking pages.
Funny.
And then it evolved into this kind of space where I talked about homeschooling. And then I got really intentional with it almost 2 years ago now. And I've always had a heart for teaching. I've always loved to teach. And so I was able to use the blog as an outlet to do that. And so now I have, we kind of rebranded into ED Snapshots. And then I have two podcasts. I have the Homeschool Snapshots podcast where I interview homeschooling moms. And though we are trying to find a dad or a teen that we could talk to maybe next season, but homeschooling moms, and we give a little peek into their homeschooling day, give a glimpse of what their day is like. And then I have another podcast called Your Morning Basket, which we just started this August. And I say we because I actually have a podcast manager who works with me. So I don't do all of this by myself. And that one is all about morning time, which is a practice in homeschooling that we do. And so I'm kind of unpacking that practice through that podcast. And I have a couple of books and guides and helpful items on the website that I sell as well.
That is so awesome. Yeah. Anyone who watches the Cultivating the Lovely show on Periscope has heard your name and has heard about your podcast.
Thank you.
I love both of them. I love Homeschool Snapshots because it's just so fun to kind of get that, you know, fly on the wall glimpse of other people's homeschools and how you kind of ask the same questions of all the different moms, right?
Yeah.
Every season.
Yeah. We typically switch between seasons, but we have a pool of questions that we pull from. And so it's typically you tend to hear the same questions again and again, and that's done on purpose so that you get to hear different answers to the same questions.
Yeah, it's so interesting to see how each episode turns out so differently, even when it's the same questions being asked over and over. Like, I love to hear what all the people's different answers are going to be.
Yeah, you know, the message I really, really, really like to drive home with that podcast is everybody homeschools differently. And that's okay. That's actually one of the beauties of homeschooling.
Yeah, it can be such a personal experience for everybody.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then your morning basket has been just, it's been like, I want to say it's revolutionized things for me, but really it's been a huge affirmation for me because we were kind of on this journey of a more, I don't want to say unschooling because that's not what it is, but like this more personalized homeschool over these last couple of years. And so we were listening to like Carol Joy Side and her seminars and all of this stuff. And then when your podcast rolled in this fall, as I was actually trying to implement all of this stuff, it was like the validation that everything we were doing was right. And we just need to like keep on working the plan. And it's been such a great boost for our homeschool. I just can't even tell you.
Oh, well, that's great to hear.
Yeah, if anybody has not checked out Your Morning Basket or Homeschool Snapshots, you guys definitely should. And then you have the Your Morning Basket guide, which kind of breaks down what this whole morning time thing is, right?
Right. It holds your hand. Actually, somebody told me, one of the girls who was one of the first ones to buy it, she wrote me an email and she said, it's like you're sitting on the couch next to me telling me exactly what to do, which was exactly what I wanted to hear because that was what I intended. And so I really kind of break down all of the kind of ins and outs of morning time. And it was interesting to write because I really, you know, well, Cindy Rollins, who started Morning Time, and she started doing Morning Time in her family 27 years ago.
And that's so crazy.
When I interviewed her for the first episode of the podcast, she's like, well, you know, there's nothing really, you know, earth shattering about morning time. It's not complicated or anything like that. And she's right. It's not. But when you really kind of break it down and start to think about the pieces in there, you realize there's actually quite a bit in there to unpack. And when I started really picking it apart and thinking about it, I've kind of had a new appreciation for how rich the practice is. And so that's what I tried to do in the guide, was really break it apart for everyone to show them how rich it is, and then how, you know, once you have an appreciation for this, step by step, how can you do it in a way that's going to be easy for you?
Yeah, I've been looking over the guide, and I love that you have it broken down so succinctly into all these different areas, from everything from what is it to why you should do it to kind of I like how you talk about the ritual and recitation. And then I specifically really like where you talk about relationship.
Yeah, that was actually fun. And I can remember the day that chapter came about because I have a little group of girls that I mastermind with that I actually talk to on Voxer quite a bit every day. And we're the Scholae sisters. And whenever there is something that one of us is wrestling with, we kind of take it to the other girls and we all kind of pick it apart. And I can remember being in the beauty shop one day, I was getting my hair colored. And we were talking about the three R's of morning time, which I had already come up with, which was this whole ritual and recitation, which is memory work, and then reading. And one of the early editors of my book had said, you have got to break down what is the difference between reading in morning time and reading aloud at any other time of the school day. And so, you know, whenever somebody is reading something that you're writing and they kind of like not really criticize it, but they're like, you've got to go back and do a better job at this. It makes you grumpy.
Yes, it does.
So I was really
even when you ask for it.
Yes, exactly. I was really grumpy about this. I was like, I've already finished this chapter. I don't want to go back and redo it. And so I was talking to some of the girls about it, and I'm like, you know, I've got to now figure out what makes this different. And through that conversation about what made the reading in Morning Time different, we came up with, it just kind of blossomed from there. And we really came up with the idea that honestly, all of these three R's, this reading, this recitation, and this ritual, what makes them different, doing them in morning time than any other time of day, is the relationship that you're building in your family and with your children, because it's a shared family culture. Yeah. Doing all of those things together.
Yeah, I really found that in our family this year. We fiddled with morning time in the past, but I'd say this is the first year we've like really put to making it a habit, and to see how the kids blossom from it, and they all look forward to it. Even if I try to skip it, that they're like, no, wait, we have to do that. Like, it's becoming a part of who our family is. And I love that about it. You just don't realize that morning time has that kind of potential.
Yeah. And, you know, you read the same things together, and you pray the same prayers together, and you pray for the same people, and you learn the same poems, and it's kind of a glue that holds your family together.
Yeah. And I think it can really become something too, where on those days when everything else is kind of falling apart, I feel like if we get, you know, some of our core work done and we've done our morning time, we've really accomplished quite a bit. Like, there's just something about the kids being exposed to the language and the vocabulary, and you feel like they're exercising their brains by doing the morning time together.
Yeah. And, you know, my oldest is in fifth grade, and there have been times in the past where, now I have relaxed a lot since those early days of trying to do preschool at home. I don't do preschool at home anymore. And my youngest is in kindergarten now. And, you know, we're lucky if we get, I think it takes us like all of 45 minutes, if even, to do kindergarten. But, you know, I used to try to fit in things like, you know, science and science experiments and history. And this year I decided I'm not even going to try to do that. We're going to practice those basic core skills that everyone needs to learn. You know, we do math every day. We do handwriting and composition every day. We practice spelling and, I said math, right?
Yes.
Latin. We do Latin every day. And other than that, we do morning time every day. And then we do co-op once a week, where they get, you know, a smattering of history, and they get exposed to some memory work and some nature study and some handicrafts and some science experiments. My oldest is in fifth grade. That's enough.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's morning time, our skill work, and then the co-op one day a week. And I don't try to do anything else.
Yeah. And it's amazing just through having such a simplified homeschool, how much they're still getting out of it. I've just been truly impressed with my kids.
Oh, yeah. They're constantly amazing me.
Yeah. Can you tell us, like, just kind of break down, what does your morning time typically look like?
Sure. Well, we always start with the lighting of a candle. And the lighting of the candle, you know, signifies Christ, the light of the world, in our midst there in morning time. And I always start morning time with a greeting that we actually use in our church. And I say, the Lord be with you. And the children reply back to me, and with your spirit. And then we're Catholic, so we make the sign of the cross. And that's just a little prayer that opens up the morning time. Okay. And then from there, we have a book called Children's Daily Prayer. And it's actually a Catholic resource. Anybody could use it. But there's a little part at the top that typically has something about the liturgical year or the saint of the day. And then there's a psalm, a reading from the Bible, a reflection for the kids to think about, and then a closing prayer. And it follows the same pattern every single day. So that's kind of our ritual of prayer that starts us off. From there, we move into our memory work. And we do memory work with our co-op. And so we have a number of things that we're memorizing with the co-op. And then we also have some additional pieces for review, and I have it all set up in a binder, and I have these playlists on iTunes. A lot of it is set to music.
Okay.
And so, you know, the kids, I do require that they sit and be still and not really doing anything extra during the prayer. But once the memory work starts, then they're free to get the Play-Doh or a puzzle, or sometimes they stand up and we freeze dance, or there might be hand motions to the song. As long as their mouth is moving and they're in the room, they're allowed to pretty much do whatever they want to as we're doing the memory work.
I think that's so reassuring for moms who yeah. think like, ah, how am I going to keep them still for that amount of time? But you don't.
No, you don't. Get up. And there is a lot of, you need to get back in here. I don't hear you doing the memory work. You know, there's yeah. those constant, because they're kids. So there's yeah. constant reminders like that. But for the most part, they do remember it. And then from there, we move into to various subjects, which typically have to do with reading. You know, we have a religious reading that we do every day from a book. Right now we're reading a children's allegory called King of the Golden City. And so we might read for a few minutes and then we might sing our hymn. We have a hymn that we work on until we learn mm-hmm. it. And then after the hymn, we might do, we're doing a bird study this year from Simply Charlotte Mason, where we do the Thornton Burgess bird book and we color the birds in the Dover coloring book. Or we do our history reading. We have a history spine. We read a chapter a week. Or we do a composer study. We use Squilt.
Okay, yeah.
And so just whatever other subject. We also do a little math app every day called Bedtime Math. And the kids all gather around me in my little iPhone, and I pull up the app, and there's usually a picture and a little story and then some math problems that they figure out in their heads. And yeah, that's really about it.
Yeah. So it's pretty simple, but it's effective.
Yeah, it's simple. I have a little schedule that I follow in the front of my notebook where all the memory work is. And I just kind of, you know, follow along down there. And if, you know, there are days we need to cut it short, we have the bare minimum of things that we do. And if there are days that everything is just going along great and we can go longer, we do that too.
That's cool. So if you're doing like, if you're putting poetry into it and stuff, where do you even start looking for resources for good poems to be doing with your kids?
Well, there is a resource I love. It's called Linguistic Development Through Poetry Memorization, and it's from IEW, the Institute for Excellence in Writing. Mm-hmm. You can find that at IEW.com, and Andrew Pudawa has put together just a bunch of really great poetry selections for kids, and he starts out with very short kind of humorous poems. He talked with me about that on the Your Morning Basket podcast. It was episode 2. And so that would be edsnapshots.com/YMB2, where he talked about how to do poetry memorization. If you didn't want to make a big purchase commitment like that, if you go to that web address for that particular episode, you can actually access, I think I did 3 different poems that I... Okay. There you have a printable there, and then I read them into an MP3, and so you could actually just start with those 3.
That's awesome.
And you try to choose poems that are accessible to the kids. They're a little shorter, and mm-hmm. humorous is always good, especially if you're starting with, you know, boys in the 8 and 9 year old range.
Yes.
They like that kind of thing. And so, Edward Lear, let me see. Hilaire Belloc is another good one. Robert Louis Stevenson. Those are mm-hmm. great kind of early childhood poets. And you can just find those by searching online.
Yeah, we really liked A.A. Milne. We got a couple of his from When We Were 6. Is that the name of the yep. book? We did those for our first term. And that was like the perfect, like, gentle introduction, but long enough where they kind of felt like they got some meat out of it. And yeah, I agree. If it's funny or if they're boys, if there's like a battle scene of some sort, they seem to really latch on to that. We're doing Opportunity right now by Edward Sill. And it's, you know, the prince who, you know, takes the sword and beats down the enemy and everything. And even though it's not like your traditional easy poem for a kid, my boys are just eating it up. So it's so fun to see. Like, I never thought they'd be interested in poetry, and they are.
Oh yeah, I bet they could totally act that one out.
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, you could be doing this at co-op to show everybody. Project. Okay. So if there are moms listening to our podcast, because I know we have a pretty varied audience who are not homeschoolers, but they think that this morning time thing sounds kind of interesting. It might be something that they want to do, if for no other reason than to just build their own family culture. Do you have any ideas of how they could kind of be implementing some of these things?
Sure. You know, if you're up in the morning, if now I know that not every family has time before they head off to school, but if you have, you know, children who are early risers and you wanted to do something in the morning before school or while you're eating breakfast, that might be a really good opportunity to do something then, as long as it's, you know, I would just stress, don't add stress to your day in order to be able to do this. And I would start small. Anytime someone is trying to establish a new morning time habit, I always tell them, start with one thing. Choose one thing you want to do first. You know, maybe that thing is prayer, and start that and do it for at least a week and be consistent with it. And then add one more thing, like, you know, say a poem to memorize, and just slowly and gradually add over time. If you don't have really a lot of time to do it in the morning before school, you could do in the afternoon, right after school when they come home and maybe they are ready for a snack. And that snack time, just because it's called morning time, doesn't mean it has to be done in the morning.
Yes, it's a deceptive title.
Yeah, it is a deceptive title. And actually, my friend Jen Dunlap, she calls it the homeschool power hour. I'm trying to think. Is it Sarah McKenzie calls it symposium? Misty Winkler has a great name for it. And
is it convocation?
Yes, convocation. Yes. I'm trying to think of some of the other names I've heard. So, you know, you could
memory
just
time, I've heard thrown around. Yeah, it's circle time. It seems like there's a lot of different names that people call it.
Exactly. And so just make up your own.
Yeah, put your own label on it. Give me whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, whatever fits for your family. But, you know, doing it after school at snack time might be a really good time to do it. And then if you're a working mom, and, you know, you're taking your kids to school each day and dropping them off, and maybe you have a good 15-minute ride in the car, I would really encourage you to use your iPhone to put some MP3s, poetry recordings on there, so you could pray. And then you could play a couple of poetry MP3s until you learn those poems. And then you could use audiobooks from someplace like Audible or LibriVox to do a story. So
that's a really good idea.
Yeah. One day
that's really practical.
Yeah. One day last week, we actually had to take our dog in, to the vet, and our vet's like, you know, 45 minutes away. And, I knew we wouldn't get to morning time that day. And so I just took my phone and plugged it in the car, and I actually had all of our memory work on there. So we listened to all of our memory work, and then I had Rikki Tikki Tavi, which I had downloaded as a 99-cent Audible buy.
There you go.
And we had morning time right there in the van, and mark it off as a school day.
Yeah, seriously, that's awesome. And well, and even if you're not, like you said, if it was just, if you're just adding that to your life, it's such a culture building thing where even in the car, your kids like know what to expect, that they start wanting that and identifying that and kind of even creating inside jokes with each other about these things that they're all doing together that are the same, which is really cool. It's leaving that legacy to our families.
Yeah. And you just, you know, you pause the story and you have a little bit of discussion. You see you're getting, you know, you're within 2 miles from the school. You just pause the story and you discuss a little bit, and it doesn't have to be hard. You know, what did you think about, you know, the snakes trying to sneak in and get rid of the people so that the bungalow would be empty? Or, you know, should Rikki Tikki Tavi have attacked the snake under the cistern, or should he have waited until he was out in the middle of the room? Just ask a simple question and get your kids' opinions on it, and you start having some discussions, and that's what builds that family culture.
Yeah. And what a great way to get their brains working for the day and getting them kind of, you know, been on their game. I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome, Pam. I love everything that you've got to say about morning time. And if people haven't checked out either of your podcasts or your guide, I just really want to encourage you guys to go check out more from Pam. And then also I have some kind of stock questions that I'm asking everyone who is coming on the show. Just kind of some fun things to help us get to know the interviewees a little bit better. So are you ready?
I am so ready. I've got this.
Okay. So candles or essential oil diffuser?
Candles.
Okay. Cloth napkins or paper?
Paper to go with my paper plates.
Okay. City or country?
Country.
Yeah. Okay. Me too. I used to think I was city, but I'm not.
Well, we were talking about the Met today and taking the kids, and I'm like, oh, I'd love to go back to the Met. So that'd be nice to live in the city for like the Met. You know, but country.
The big things. But when it comes right down to it, man, I love the quiet.
Yeah.
It's peaceful. Okay. Paper or digital?
Digital.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit hybrid maybe in there, or just digital?
I like to write things down to get them out of my head, but all of my friends would laugh if I said papers. I'm such a techie, so I have to say digital.
Okay. So shopping, would you rather do it online or in the store?
Oh my gosh, online.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
Yes. Unless it's Target for me.
No, I don't even, I don't know. No, thank you. Awesome. If I can't get it through Amazon, it doesn't get got.
That's funny. Okay, so I'm assuming you have Prime.
Oh, yeah. 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 And somebody asked me when they were doing the whole droid thing a couple years ago. They're what do you think about these droids? I'm like, sign me up. So,
yeah. Can I get my own with my name on
it? Exactly.
Okay. Chocolate, milk, or dark?
Dark.
Amen, sister. Okay. Sports or no sports?
Oh, I love sports. I'm a huge football fan and ice dance.
Yes. Okay. Periscope, would you rather broadcast or watch?
Broadcast.
Me too. Okay. If you had to pick one, what would be your favorite movie?
Oh, you're not going to give me choices I get to pick?
Nope. You just get to pick.
Okay. The King's Speech.
Oh, that's a good one. What a good choice.
I like that one.
That's a noble choice. Okay. And last question. If there was a scale from 1 to 10, and the 1 was really soggy and the 10 was super crunchy, and the natural scale, where would you put yourself?
Oh, like 2.
Okay. So far, I've been surprised by the answer to that question, I think, more than any of them.
My paper plates and paper napkins didn't get that away.
That is awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Pam. I'm just so excited that hopefully more people are going to get to find you and your podcast and all your amazing resources. I so appreciate the time that you took to come chat with me.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on, and I just wish you the best of luck with the Cultivating the Lovely podcast. I think it's going to be great.
Thank you. I'm very excited about it. We'll be talking to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that is it for this third episode of Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. If you would like to see any of the notes from today's show, any of the resources that Pam mentioned, all the places that you can find her, her amazing morning time guide, then you're going to want to hop over to boldturquoise.com/003. And that is where you can see everything that you would want to remember from this show. So don't worry about having gotten any notes down. We have got it all written there for you to be able to really easily find everything. And since we're also releasing this podcast as part of our launch day on November 12th, 2015, I have a couple of extra things that I want to mention to you. We are having a really big pre-sale right now on our very first products that we are launching in our Bold Turquoise shop. app. So we have a really fun mug that says Cultivate the Lovely, and we have a beautiful journal that says Be Bold and Gracious. Now, this is a pre-sale that is going on until November 19th of 2015, and during that time, you can get $1.50 off. These mugs and journals are really fun. They would make perfect Christmas gifts. So if you want to be guaranteed to get one before Christmas, then make sure you head over to the shop, shop.boldturquoise.com, to grab them now. They actually won't be shipped out until early December, but you want to get your order in now so you can make sure you get one. And also, just as a little incentive for all you guys who are leaving ratings and reviews on iTunes, which we are so appreciative of, because that just helps other people find out about the podcast. Since we're brand new, we got to get the word out there. So for anyone who leaves a rating or review in iTunes this weekend, through this weekend, you will be entered to win one of our Cultivate the Lovely mugs. So it's just a little thank you for all of you who have gone out of your way to do that. I am so appreciative. Also, if you want to know more about how to get into this Cultivating the Lovely community, I would love to have you join me on my daily Periscope show that we have every weekday morning, starting generally sometime between 6:30 and 7, sometimes 7:30 Pacific Standard Time, where we talk about how we are cultivating loveliness in our lives. It's an amazing group of women, and we also have a Facebook group. You can find out about all of that if you go to boldturquoise.com and click on Periscope. So I think that is all for this week. We've got another really fun interview happening next Thursday is when it will go live. I can't wait to bring it to you. But until then, ladies, go be bold and gracious.